I'm not about to start asking you for dating advice. Brackets, I'm not that desperate yet. Oh, well, thanks, mate. Well, I'll just end it there. Thanks for listening and like and subscribe. That's it. Okay.
Welcome to the Media Week podcast, the podcast made for media people by media people. Don't worry, we're not your CEOs just yet. We're your common media folk in the weeds of the day-to-day. Each episode, we'll share opinions on hot topics in the media world, along with some vents to keep you going on a Friday afternoon. So who's in the room? It's me, your host, Harriet from Publicis, Jack from Craft.
Greetings.
Boogie from Wavemaker.
What up?
And Charlie 2.0, who also enjoys outdoor pursuits just as much as Charlie First Edition.
That is true. I'm a big outdoors man.
Are we going to get a fun fact every episode?
In today's episode, it's a gaming takeover. Cue the pew 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 music. That's right. Gaming, gaming, gaming is our topic of choice today. So stay tuned to hear more about how gaming is being leveraged by multiple brands in a variety of categories. But first... In travel and tourism, in January, Hilton Hotels launched a Roblox Rewards program in collaboration with Paris Hilton's metaverse environment, Slivingland.
What's it called? Slimmingland?
Sliving. Slivingland. Because she's doing sliving.
What is that?
It's
is
a play between slaying and living your best life.
Okay, yeah, nice. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Gamers can earn Hilton Honors points, Hilton's loyalty scheme, by playing in Slivingland, as well as earn 3 wearables for their avatars. Luxury brands and gaming. Forcing it or the correct move?
Is it these points? What are they for?
It's a loyalty scheme.
For Paris Hilton or for like the Hilton
hotels?
Because she's off
Hilton
that.
Hotels.
That's where all the, you know, pain yeah. comes from.
For the hotels, I think luxury brands, they need to be playing in the gaming space. They've had a strong foothold in all other media, whether that is cinema, TV, music, sport, all of that entertainment. Mm. There's always been a space for luxury brands. So I think... they definitely need to work out how to play in that space. She's actually doing bits.
What does, I mean, it's a bit of a tangent, but what does luxury advertising look like in gaming? What actually looks good rather than being like, we're doing a bloody metaverse nonsense?
I think it's just consistency. I think they need to find a space where they can add value. Anything that you can do to add value to either the space or add value to players and gamers and the audience, that's going to be the best way to activate. So whether you are, you know, collaborating with esports teams, also it depends on the actual product, the category.
Yeah, because there's luxury like fragrances, which are like a couple of hundred quid. And then there's like luxury booze, which is around the same price point. Then you've got watches, which are like thousands of pounds. So it's...
Well, this example is travel and tourism. And I think, well, Hilton's a good example, but also Marriott Hotels, they've also activated in the gaming space. They did a really impressive Fortnite activation in the US. So not just Hilton Hotels, there's other really cool brands that are being innovative in this space, and we'll talk more about it given it's a gaming takeover. But in finance, financial service providers are actually taking to Twitch in a bid to target hard-to-reach young adults. Using branded Twitch streams, finance company PayUK tapped into the 18 to 24 market, gaining 75,000 unique viewers live at over 100,000 on catch-up. Genius or just doing their job well?
Yeah, I saw this and I was wondering how this would fit, but it actually looked quite good. Right, the guy was speaking about the sponsorship and how it was like he gave a relevant example in his life of why he wished he'd heard about it. And so much so to the fact that like I'm now considering switching my account. Like it was compelling. So I went from a complete doubt to almost acceptance.
That they got you, a certified young man, to...
I'm not sure. Yeah, young is a bit strong. Okay. But, you know, well, younger.
You're not 18 to 24, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks, Marriott.
Bruh! Okay.
Fair point,
no,
well made.
No
yeah.
prisoners.
But interestingly, in other news, Overwolf, Twitch and Roblox surged to the top tier of Comscore's gaming media platforms. With such high praise, do planners make themselves more aware of gaming media as we had to with social media?
I had a question for you guys. Do you lot know Overwolf?
I know of Overwolf.
Yeah,
I'm
only, exposing, only a bit, like top line.
I'm exposing my lack of depth of knowledge in there.
No, because even I only really was exposed to Overwolf kind of like recently, and I didn't realise it had this kind of like penetration with gamers. Because essentially what it is at the end of a game, so you're playing Fortnite with your friends, or you're playing Apex, or you're playing COD. Yep. At the end of the game, it's like, well done, you won. And then they are able to put some ad units that go straight into that. And for example, if you're advertising another game, it could be like, oh, well done on your win. Have you tried this game that's better than all the other games? So it's intrinsically there at the point where they are already in gaming mode. So you're able to get them to switch to other games, other titles, other entertainment places, whether you want them to watch something, but they're already in entertainment mode. So I think it's a really, really interesting channel, or interesting media, sorry, that is probably quite underutilized. It's so simple. It's literally the same as anything else we probably ever planned. Very easy to do and easy to execute. So I was impressed to see it up there alongside, because we're talking about Roblox all the time. And we're always taught, and you know, Twitch is the go-to place if you're thinking about streaming, you think about Twitch. So you'd expect to see them, but the Overwolf one, as a media planner first and someone interested in gaming second, that was the one that was a shock to me. But I think if you spoke to gamers, they'd be like, yeah, we know Overwolf.
Yeah. No, I think your original question was like, are planners going to have to start sort of deepening their knowledge along like we did with social? I think the answer was like, yeah, absolutely. I think that it's been kind of conveniently put to one side, and like, because you can kind of go, oh, gaming, the audience is gamers. In reality, the audience isn't gamers. It's everyone who is like, basically everyone from all sorts of social strata and different cuts of life, like play games in some form or another, rather than it being like the kind of cliched, oh, it's just teenage boys sort of thing. So I think like, more brands need to start taking gaming more seriously, but I think agencies getting better at selling in the benefits of it to clients is going to be really important. Particularly, you know, when you're talking about going back to the luxury thing, it's going to be a tricky old sell. So, like, you know, those examples are actually pretty good.
I think with Roblox, it was after the episode I was listening to the other week that you guys did, right? And it was talking about luxury. And I was like, well, why is there such a focus on luxury in Roblox? And one interesting thing is the function of Roblox, right? You've got loads of kids and normal people playing it, but you've got people designing games, like game devs in the game designing games. And those game devs get paid, and they get paid well. So last year, Roblox paid out $750 million to their creators in-game. So you have people who are commanding some pretty serious wealth. So I can see where now the luxury slides in quite nicely there.
Online currency is in like gaming currency.
No, like in actual. So the game exists, and there's a game engine within that where people who you know, design games can go and create a sub game.
I could be a designer.
Wow, yeah. I mean, now this is getting like Inception style. Yeah. A game within a game.
I'm in the wrong job. Why am I a media planner? I should be making games on Roblox.
Hey, come on, we're supposed to be bigging up the industry. It's a media podcast, after all. But conveniently, in other gaming news, Microsoft is the creator of Xbox, purchaser of Activision Blizzard and King, best known for COD and Candy Crush. But did you know that you could plan and buy ad activations with them via Yahoo?
I didn't know this.
Did you know that?
Yeah. I didn't know this. So I've been chatting with them like last week, and the full breadth of stuff that you can do with on any of these kind of gaming platforms, but just via Yahoo. And I like that it's Yahoo, because we know that. We know how to speak that language, like media language. We know what Yahoo's selling. We know how all of that's going. But to understand that you can very easily now actually tap into a gaming audience through your regular reps, the reps you already know, the people you already know, that was quite revolutionary to me, to be honest.
In entertainment, Disney has recently invested $1.5 billion in Epic Games as part of an effort to create an entertainment universe connected to Fortnite. What does a major player such as Disney staking a claim in the gaming space signal to the rest of us? Now, I'm going to hand over to Charlie for this one, given that he's come prepared with his Disney trainers.
They are white Disney trainers, yeah. Subtle bit of Disney in there. I think,
I see Mickey.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
I mean, if someone told me my trainers were Mickey Mouse, I'd be like, wait, leave it out.
Quite literally are, yeah.
Some Mickey Mouse trainers, mate.
Yeah, look, I think it's another sort of driving force in the commercialization of gaming, right? Whenever Disney get involved, you know it's pretty serious. But I think, have you ever seen the map that Walt Disney drew out of his like empire?
Oh, it's quite
cool.
The system diagram.
Yeah, where everything feeds back.
So
like,
good.
Put it in the show notes.
We need to get that in the show notes.
But it's really cool. And it's, you know, I imagine it's one that he never saw coming.
Honestly, I'm so pleased you said about that, because that's like one of my favorite like diagrams to help structure
and an empire. Wow.
But map, empire, it's Mickey Mouse, but it's good. No, it's like, the thing is though, I think if you take a step back, Disney's whole thing is basically they're competing in like the attention economy or whatever. And where's attention going? It's going into gaming. So if they don't have, you know, enough skin in that game, then it's obviously they need to expand it, because otherwise they're only going to kind of lose out. Because if you look at like Netflix have expanded into it, like there's all sorts of, you know, different, like Amazon, was it Amazon Arcade? Yeah,
Netflix,
you
know, Amazon.
Yeah, they've all got like a gaming Disney element to what they're doing. So,
well,
it
look,
makes sense.
We could go on and on all day about how gaming is affecting the media industry currently.
Bookie could.
But Bookie's actually going to test our knowledge a little bit further in this space.
I've been revising all night.
So, Bookie, go on then. I hope these are multiple choice questions. Otherwise, I'm really going to expose myself.
They're not.
Please don't expose yourself. I'm out.
Thankfully, it's a podcast.
Yeah, fortunately, it's a podcast. Everyone at home's been spared.
Oh, the crude jokes. Enough of that.
It's maximum embarrassment for you guys if you get any of these wrong. Okay. So, I've got 8 questions. So I actually spoke to some of our friends over at Anzu, and they were able to provide some stats for us, and I'm going to test you on those. So, question 1: how many people globally game?
Globally,
actually, I lied. I'm not giving you multiple choice. How many people globally game?
Can you like give us
Charlie?
A ballpark?
I'm going to go, because also you've got to remember that like mobile is probably in that number as well. Mm-hmm, so commuting mm-hmm. people playing Candy Crush. I would go for 2.5 billion globally.
Okay, so nice answer. Do I have any other answers in the room?
2.51 billion.
2.51.
I think more. I'm going to say 4 billion.
You guys aren't actually all that far off. 3.3 billion gamers globally.
We were far off. We were literally a billion out.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Half a billion, that's a lot of people.
You could have said 1, you could have said 10. I think it's close enough.
We wouldn't have said 10. Mm. There's not 10 billion people on the planet, is there? Yeah. That would just be frank. That would be completely wrong. Sorry.
We were in the billions at
Come
least.
On, we've got 7 more to go.
I could never be a teacher. That's all I'm finding out right now. I could never be a teacher. Okay. Another bit to add to that is nearly half of the world's gamers are women. Okay, question 2. What percentage of gamers are over 35?
I'm going to go controversial and say it's more.
What's the number?
I'm going 60% of gamers are over 35.
Yeah, I agree with Jack.
Thank you.
Can I get that recorded and sent to me, please? Harriet agrees with
Charlie,
me.
Charlie, anything?
I reckon 50%. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot, again, because of the mobile gaming aspect, but I'll go for 50.
You're closer. It's 42%.
Boo.
What's well, a boo?
Because Charlie got one and I didn't. competitive.
Boo.
Street,
hiss, boo.
Yeah. Question 3. Do you know what an intrinsic in-game ad is?
Would that be one where it's like a billboard within the game or something?
That's what I would have guessed.
My guy, man like Charlie knows what's going on.
In-game, out of home.
Indeed. Intrinsic in-game ads sit natively within the background of games in 3D objects like buildings, billboards, sports stadiums, stuff like that. Love that. The ads are non-clickable and non-intrusive. Love that. Good job.
So it implies the existence of an extrinsic ad. What would that be?
No.
I guess maybe just something that like covers the whole screen. So it's like still in the game, but it's not like native. Around. Yeah, it just takes over them.
Yeah, nice. See, there's nothing he doesn't know.
I know. You're actually pretty good. All right, next question. What percentage of gamers are positive or neutral to in-game advertising? Now we're bringing it back. We've set the scene. We're bringing it back.
Do we have to give a percentage for positive?
Positive it. And
globally
neutrals
or
together.
Global
right, okay.
UK.
I'll go with third.
I would say maybe, I think 70% are positive or neutral.
What's the...
We've got a winner.
Oh,
we
didn't
wow.
even get an answer.
Yeah, because she got it right. She got it right. Anyone hear your wrong answers?
Hang on, but we what? Yeah, okay.
Where are these numbers from?
Sulk.
These numbers are, according to Anzu's research, so they are an intrinsic in-game advertising provider who also furnished us with the details for this quiz. Okay. So that's where it's from. You can take it up with them. Their details will be in the show notes.
Where are they taking you for lunch for all of these plugs?
I actually haven't been for lunch because I haven't even activated yet.
We're all coming.
Send that IO.
I know. Once it's locked in, we're definitely getting steak. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay, cool. I'm gonna rattle through these now because I won't be here for too long. How could you buy in-game ads? What kind of like buying models do you think there are?
Manage programmatic.
Surely you can. What's do it. Manage and programmatic.
Fax.
Standard.
Do you buy fax?
Facts.
Correct. Direct and programmatic. Cool. And this one's actually quite an interesting one, because I've always struggled with how you would do this. But what kind of reporting metrics do you think you would get?
It's going to be viewable impressions. It's got to be one of them. You're not going to get clicks, are you, or anything like that?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Viewability, time viewed, time in view.
Are you about to reveal something really left field?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Impressions, viewability, and VCR are the main ones. But then they've also got, like, you can do sequential messaging, you can test the impact at different parts, and then also the brand lift studies as well.
That's the answer to the question from earlier. How did you do brilliant luxury advertising in games? In-game, like, out-of-home, like, big, fancy out-of-home placements. That would be sick.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
I did actually see, I think it was Tommy Hilfiger was, they did one with Tennis Clash. Mm. So they had, like, Tommy Hilfiger, like, billboards around when you were playing the Tennis Clash game. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
I like that.
Easy. Right, how many questions have I done? I don't even know.
Are you keeping score, by the way?
I'm keeping score.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
How many types of targeting are available?
Oh, loads, surely. I mean, obviously that doesn't really answer it. Loads of targeting, but...
Demo.
Contextual, so like game-specific.
Nice, that's two.
Oh, God. Where's the look on Harriet's face?
I don't know.
I thought we were a room of planners, all that kind of stuff.
Day part targeting?
What is
that? Day part targeting? That's a bit loose, isn't it?
That's quite loose. Yeah. All right, I'll let you guys know. Contextual, platform/device level, location, demographic, and also any information that they use to sign up to the game, because you always have to sign up to games these days.
Yeah. Do you know what? For listeners who can't see me, I'm hanging my head in shame that I didn't.
You should have
come
that.
Out with some of that.
You should have had that.
Feel a bit stupid now. I feel.
I mean, it is a Friday afternoon.
Honestly, but when I set out to do this quiz, I didn't realize I was going to make planning gaming look so easy. When actually I was like, we can do all of this, and we already do all of this. It's just, we just need to do more of it. The last question.
Mm.
How does gaming compare to other marketing channels, and why should brands choose gaming over them, e.g. TV, out of home, social media?
I think we've almost covered it in the news flash that gaming definitely has a space.
Yeah, we said it has a space, but why would you choose gaming? Would you choose gaming over another one?
I mean, there's so many variables to that question, but the short answer is no, because I consistently don't choose it over, you know, loads of the other channels. It depends on what you're like trying to achieve and what the rest of your sort of marketing mix is doing. I think it definitely needs to be considered more though. And like, but just playing into its strengths, which is like the interactive ability of it. I think we're talking about it in like a very sort of like direct sort of way. Mm-hmm. In reality, like we're talking about something that has all of like these creators around it. It has its own like version of the creator economy. It's got like its own version of the out of home industry.
Yeah,
it's also got like there's so many different
ecosystem. It's literally separate.
And I love the fact that about four episodes ago, Jack was like, "Yeah, kill the metaverse. No brands are going to be on Roblox." And now the tables have turned.
Now hang on, I am not having that because the metaverse, I stand by it, still a load of bullshit.
Roblox is the metaverse.
No, Roblox is a game.
It's a game. Gaming
is different.
It's
to
a
metaverse.
Game based on a metaverse environment, but it's not the metaverse as we were first. Okay.
You mean Meta's metaverse?
Mate, if you're gonna take a shot, you better make sure you hit. Otherwise...
However, just before we absolutely roll off the edge of this,
I'm gonna have a fight with Harry.
Yeah, I know you. Jack and Harry are about to fight.
She's looking at me like she's gonna kill me.
This is why I can't be a teacher. Everyone would be fighting in school, be a mess. Anyway,
lost the classroom,
so
mate.
Some of the things that I just wanted to point out in terms of the environment, if you get into gaming, not all of them, because like we said, there's mobile gaming, there's Candy Crush, there's, you know, Tetrises of the world that aren't like multi-million pound spaces. But when you think about the quality of the content, if you go into like some of the AAA games, I think the financial figures, when you put it together, like the budget for a AAA game in 2024 is like $60 million compared to 50 to 100 million for the average Hollywood film. So obviously people are going in being like, oh, Hollywood film, cinema, great, love it. Premium, but so are some of these games.
Do you know what? You only have to look at the response to the GTA 6 trailer.
Bruh.
Unreal.
Crazy. Mm. Crazy. Also, the size, and this actually threw me. I didn't know this was going to be as big as it is. Pause. The total size of the film and music industries are worth $18 billion.
podcast of media professionals.
Christ, right. The total size of the film and music industries are worth $80 billion and $28 billion respectively, whilst the games industry is currently worth $189 billion and projected to exceed $200 billion in the next 2 years. So that is the space that we are operating in, we're trying to kind of break into. There is huge opportunity.
We've talked about a lot of billions this episode and so the previous.
Like, yeah, that's why, that's because it's the gaming episode.
Talking
in
big numbers here. Well, thank you so much, Bucky, for that very informative quiz.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Hello, Media Anon.
I have two lovely Media Anons, one that's quite emotional and one that I think could be a little bit more spicy. So we'll do emotion first and then we'll get spicy afterwards. I'm 25 and have just moved to the city for the first time for work. I've never lived alone and come from a big family, so I'm used to having people around me at all times. I don't know anyone in London, so I find myself quite lonely in the evening and on the weekends, which is making me question whether this was the right move for me. I love my job and recognise that London is the right place to be for this industry, but I would love some advice about how to relax, feel settled, and make some friends in London. It's a big transition going from the Sticks to London, and it just feels really unnatural to me. Harriet's from the Sticks.
I am, yes. I'm a country bumpkin, born and bred. What?
Sorry, that's just...
I must admit, I totally agree that London can actually be a lonely city if you don't have a solid friendship base or network yet. So I think it's really important to kind of, you know, ensure that you're kind of proactively like getting involved in like hobbies and like communities, sports. Like sports, like, you know, going on. Do people go on Facebook groups anymore for hobbies?
This person is 25, so probably not.
Wow.
It's not possible. Okay, maybe
it's not 2010.
It's not possible. No. Wow, what happened?
But you're right though, because it's like the sports hobbies, like, your agency, if it's a bigger one, will probably have sort of like extracurricular stuff you can get involved in.
Yeah,
that's definitely the best way. I think also just to like reassure you, it's an incredibly normal way to feel, especially when you first move to the city. I had a very similar experience moving up to town, like, you know, back when. I think the point stands, like, it's really tricky when you don't have that kind of that basis, kind of that friendship group. What I would say is, like, don't kind of fall into despair about it though, just like see if you can get yourself like a couple of hobbies or something like that, go and like try some new stuff, but also kind of hang in there because things do get better. I wouldn't say pull the plug on it just yet. You might want to just like have a go and see if you can speak to your boss or something at work and like see if they've got any advice, because
speaking to us.
Speak to your boss. What type of advice is that? Speak to your boss about you being lonely in London. Yeah, good one.
I think
I'm biased, but it's always sports teams. I think if it's sports, but if you're not a sporty person, just whatever it is, whatever hobby that you like to do, whether it's painting, whether it's, I don't know, paddle, whether any of those things, that's where you're going
to
find.
I think London is probably one of the best cities in the world to do that. I think there's a plethora, there's so many
park
niche
run.
Things. Mm. That, yeah, park run.
Park.
You know,
yeah,
there's
park
major
run
ones,
snaps.
There's niche ones, there's everything in between. Park. Get yourself out there.
Yeah, and also remember that media is obviously a social industry. And, you know, I've made a lot of lifelong friends from just being in the industry over the years.
Like
so,
us.
None in this room.
Yeah, none of which are here.
Nav's a lifelong friend, right, Nav? She's shaking her head.
So, you know, you will grow that, and as Jack said, just be patient, and your friends and fun will come.
Yeah, just go and speak to Harriet and you'll become one of her lifelong friends.
It's pretty easy.
Right, so Zach, we've got right, so we'll wrap it up. That's hopefully helped you out there. But yeah, obviously do hope things improve for you. So, second one. My friends and I thought it would be funny to join a dating app the week before Valentine's Day to see if any of us could score a V-Day date. Spoiler alert, none of us did. Boo. I'm not about to start asking you for dating advice.
Did they specifically reference you there, Jack?
Brackets, I'm not that desperate yet. Oh, well, thanks, mate. We'll just end it there. Thanks for listening and like and subscribe. That's it. Okay. I got a like from someone the day before Valentine's that I rejected. I didn't find him attractive, simple as. However, when I went into the office on that dreaded Wednesday, I recognised the guy in the kitchen. It was the man I didn't accept on the app. He works in my office. Now he could just think I'm inactive on the app, but it's been over a week now, and he obviously still hasn't matched with me because I rejected him, and I don't know whether I just ignore the situation and move on, or if I mention it to him and try to explain or make a joke. He works on the same floor as me, so we're going to see each other in passing a lot, and I feel a bit awkward about it. And she's done a little sort of like slanty mouth face.
Never happened.
What do we think, guys?
Yeah, I would just don't bring that up.
Never
just
happened.
Do not bring that up.
Never ever.
Write him an elaborate handwritten letter with a deep description of... No?
To be
this
fair...
This is why no one wants dating advice.
Why don't you call him? Call him and just breathe heavily on the phone. Until,
Jack!
No?
To be fair, you should take dating advice from Jack because he's the only one that's married out of the four of us. So
successful dating.
He's doing something right. Yeah, let's just pretend that never happened.
Yeah, just move on. Yeah. Stop overthinking it.
I heard you deleted the app, actually. Also, you weren't even...
I heard that too, yeah.
He might not be... He might not be thinking about you at all, really. It might just be because also he might
You're
have just
his
be,
corner now.
He might have just been. He might have been.
Spam, you want?
He might have been spamming the likes. Who knows?
It never happened.
It never happened.
It never happened. That wraps everything up. Thank you for listening this week, folks. If you've got a Media Anon, send it in the link in the show notes. If you've had a Media Anon and you've applied the advice, send us
an update.
We like a continued story. Please do remember to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Goodbye.